Two readings this morning, Acts 2 and Mark 10. Acts 2, verse 42 to 47. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. They sold their possessions and goods and distributed them all as they had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking the bread in their homes, they partook of food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favour with all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers day by day those who were being saved. Mark 10, verse 42. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are supposed to rule over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever must be the would be the first among you must be the slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Let's pray, shall we? Father God, we thank you for this opportunity of coming together, of being here at Aquinas Life Baptist Church, hanging out together and having a time of worship and communion. Father, we ask that Your Holy Spirit would indeed be in and through this place in ways that are beyond our understanding and ways that are beyond our comprehension. Lord, may you be amongst us right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we've said already, we're looking at a series about why. Why do we do what we do as Christians? Why do we do what we do and what's it about? And I just thought it'd be an interesting time for this month for us to re-look at and have a kick around what is going on with this, that, and everything else. All right, see what else is on our plate. I was given a number of things over Christmas, as many of us were, with Christmas and birthdays and that sort of stuff around. And one of the things I was given was a book. But just before I read the first introduction section of this book, just want to look at our windows behind us. How many people noticed our windows? You like our windows? Yeah, I've only had the windows. The windows have been put in this week at great expense. The only problem is that when it's 32 degrees in here, they don't open. And the breeze doesn't come in. But aren't they beautiful? And as we go through this month, you'll see some of the meaning, the intricacy that's in amongst those pictures. This is a book called Jesus, A Typography. It's by a guy called Sweet. It says this at the very beginning of it, in the introduction. According to estimates, approximately 1.25 billion Christians live in the world today. Many, if not most, have become overly familiar with their Bibles. The same can also be said about the way they view the Lord Jesus Christ. Is this a daring statement? Perhaps. How can we be sure to think that Christianity has become so over-familiar that which is concerned about the most influential person who ever lived and the most important person who ever walked planet Earth? That's the very intro to this book. And the interesting thing for me is that in today's devotional I'm reading, it has the same intro. Not exactly the same, but the same point is being made, that there is a lot of comfortability within the church today. And that we come along and we support our team, as it were. And some of us, as you know, Randall said in his analogy, some of us have teams that we support. I've supported the Broncos from day one. When I was a young boy, I supported Geelong from day one. And for many, many years, Geelong got absolutely thumped in the football. They came last more than they did get anywhere else. But you stayed true to your team until the Brisbane Koalas came along. And I supported them for a while and they morphed into the Lions. And we went through a very good period in the early 2000s, and now the Lions are down the bottom end of the field again.
But we belong to those sort of people groups and teams and support them through good and thin. Although there are many people who will chop and change. I'm going to try and not name people this year, but this one young lady I know in the area of football teams, one year supported the Eagles because they were in the grand final. The next year she supported the Swans because they were in the grand final. And the next year she supported someone else because they were in the grand final. Admittedly, she was only very young and was all birds. So it must have been the Hawks the next year. So it was all animals, birds. But it's interesting how we do that. Some of us will flop around and go from backwards and forwards. But why? Why are we here today? What is it about? Why are you here today? Anyone want to have a go at answering that question? Why did you come to this place today? Is the surf too big? Which it is, I believe. I believe the surf is too big. It's big and powerful. All the reports from the Gold Coast was it's massive. You came to worship? Let me just share that analogy. It's a very good one, and it was partly in my sermon, so let me just cross that bit out. Pamela gave us the analogy of the coal, that when it's in the fire, it stays nice and hot, but when you take that one coal out of the fire and it stays by itself, then it goes cold very quickly and becomes not very good for anything, much at all. But when it stays in the fire, that heat, that warmth, that glow continues to grow. And coming to church is part of that, is part of worship. That's very true and a great analogy, very important one. Anyone else want to say why they came to church today? The love of God compelled you to. That's an excellent answer, excellent answer. And because ultimately that is the answer of why we come to church, because it's about God. It's not about me, which is interesting in this day and age. A lot of the time it is about me. It's about me liking the sermon. It's about me liking the worship. It's about me liking the air conditioning. It's about me liking the kids' talk. It's about me liking... It's about me. And it's really not meant to be about me. It's meant to be all about God. We come to worship God. We come to know Him. We come to know His love greater. There is something about coming together that's supernatural, that's more than normal. And we're going to look at a little bit of that today. While you're thinking about that question, let me just go to our Bible readings. The one that we read, and John, thank you very much for reading that, from the book of Acts. Just to let you know, normally in church, we normally grab one section of Scripture and we sit on that and we read through that in backwards and forwards. But today, we're going to be all over the Bible. So if you have your Bibles, or your notebooks, or your tablets, or your iPhones, or whatever, then you're going to be working. And poor Jordan at the back will be working hard to keep up as well. So let's go. This passage from Acts chapter 2, isn't it a magnificent passage? Isn't it magnificent? It is about the early church. And the early church, what did they do? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, out of that one passage, we could just sit on that right now and get a great list of reasons why they come together. Why? Great teaching. Why? Fellowship. Why? Prayer. Why? Because of the miracles that were being done in and through the work of the apostles. And this year, 2016, I will be praying into and I'll be asking you to join in with me that we would see God move in miraculous ways, in life-transforming ways, both spiritually, physically, emotionally, just working in and through people's lives and in and through our community. They had everything in common. That's an amazing statement. Can we say that? Can we say we have everything in common? I don't think we do. I don't think we do. Everything in common, on the same page, heading in the same direction, wanting to see God work and move in amazing ways. They even sold property and possessions to give to anyone in need. They were absolutely amazing at sowing into and giving away. Incredible time. And they came together again and again and again. It was important for them to come together. Important for them. And the last one. And the Lord added to their day, to their number daily. Isn't that a good reason of getting together? Seeing people saved, seeing people come to know faith, seeing people come to understand. Now we will be challenging each and every one of us, each and every one of us, myself included this year, for us to reach out to our family and friends, for us to reach out to our community, for us to invite people to church. Yeah, bring people along and see God work in amazing ways in their lives. Hebrews chapter 10 is our next passage. Hebrews chapter 10, reading from verse 22 to 25. It says this, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart." See, it starts there as an attitude. When you come to church, you've got to have the right attitude. Doesn't that change everything? If you come into anything with a wrong attitude, we get what we deserve, don't we? Whatever it is, you won't get much at all. But if you come in with that, it's all about God attitude. You come in with that, I'm going to receive from God today. And there are so many stories through the Bible where people just did that. They came into God, with that desire and that attitude to meet with Him. With a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from guilty conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Being able to come together, to be able to have any of the stains of the week. And trust us, there's stains that come upon us. We do life with people. We're going to get hurt. We're going to get upset. We're going to get damaged. And it's an opportunity for us to come together and have those areas sprinkled and washed clean by pure water in God Almighty. Let us hold unswerving to the hope we profess, for He has promised is faithful. Let us consider how when we spur one another on toward love and good deeds. So another reason we come together is to spur one another on, to encourage one another, not just in our work or in our families or in our relationships, but to do good deeds, to encourage one another to go bigger and beyond what we have and who we are. And it says this, but not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Is the day approaching? It is. The day is approaching. It's closer today than it was yesterday. I know that sounds really, you know, flippant, but it is. It is. And what is that day? The return of the Lord? The day we get to meet Him? Either way, it is a day closer. Whether Jesus returns through the clouds, that's a day closer. Whether it's actually we get to meet Him face to face through other forms, that's a day closer. And so we need to encourage one another. We need to not step away from meeting together. We need to meet together in obedience to God's word. Matthew 28, verse 20 is our next reading. This is Matthew 18, verse 20. Sorry, Jordan. Matthew 18, verse 20. I'm just going to read from verse 19. It says, "Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with you." Again, another encouragement for us to be together, for us to come together in two or three. Small groups, home groups, church, board meetings, coming together in two or three, that we might meet together and pray for one another, uphold one another. This year I'd love to see prayer growing right across our church in amazing ways, in simple ways, that people would get together in coffee shops and pray for a situation. Not just talk about it, but take it to the Lord in prayer. Because you know why? In that situation, God is in the midst. He is right there, right then, and right now. Let God be working in amazing ways. Let God be working. Our last one in this section is Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 to 17. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. What a great little picture that one is. Coming together, admonishing one another, encouraging one another, building one another up. And not just in one song, but a whole bunch of songs through psalms, hymns, songs of the Spirit, singing with gratitude in your heart to God, letting it all out, letting God know, hey, I'm thankful for what you've done in my life, praising him together. We also know from the word that God inhabits the praises of his people. And when we come together and we can praise his name and we can exalt him, it's amazing, an amazing time of coming together. And I don't want to miss out on any of those opportunities. I don't want to miss out. In the upper room where the Holy Spirit was poured out, I wonder if there was a few disciples who thought they were busy that day, who didn't go that morning, went and did something else. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes in a way that's never done before. Tongues of fire and languages and everything happens. The Holy Spirit is poured out. Those that were there got to be a part of it. If you're not there, you don't get to be a part of it. And I'm praying this year that we'll be a part of some amazing stuff taking place here amongst our church. We're going to be encouraging more and more folk to get up and share their story. As you heard, as it comes through the newsletter, our theme for the most of the year will be God's story, our story. God's story, our story. We want to share our story and God's story about working in and through us. His answer to our prayers, his answer to moving in and through our lives, his testimony, his work. So I want to come together and hear everybody's stories about what God is doing. Not just my stories, but your stories. I'm going to get people up and share those stories each week. Second part of today's is why do we serve in the church? Why do we put up our hand and become of the children's ministry or the youth ministry or secret sisters or admin team or leadership team? Why do we come and serve? Why do we have people at the front door? Why is there morning tea people? Why do we have that servant heart? Why does God call us to have that servant heart? Well, if you go through the Bible, and again, we won't have enough time to go through it all today, but let me just list off a couple, although you could probably help me out here. When the Bible talks about the body of Christ, what are some of the pictures that are used? Anyone know? One of them was shared in one of those readings. It was the family of God, brothers and sisters. James used it in the communion. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, adopted into the family with God as the Father, our Father who art in heaven. We're a part of the family. Now, I know not many of us have the perfect family. I certainly don't have the perfect family, although this part of my family is pretty close to perfect. They're pretty amazing. They gave me an incredible birthday, and it was very, very special. I don't know if the water fight was a good part of it, but 4-1, that sounds fair odds, doesn't it? 4-1. Can you believe that? The old guy was by himself. They had water bombs. They had my water pistols. They had everything. I was just all by myself. But, with old age comes experience, and I knew where the hose was. So, but we're a part of the family. Some of us in the family, we have black sheep in the family. Some of us are the black sheep of the family. And the family is something that is unique, something incredible. Family is part of why we serve. Family is part of why we come together and minister together. Family. What's another picture? I'll give you another one. Army. The army is used again and again and again. The armor of God, the soldier of Christ. In the army, everyone has their place to play. In the army, you need to be obedient. The whole rationale of why you're in the army and why they treat you so badly to start with is to get you to a point where you will be obedient, where you'll be obedient first. Because if you don't do what you're meant to do, then people's lives are at risk. And we, as the body of Christ, are God's army. And there is only one king of this army, and his name is Jesus. Exactly. It's not Donnie. It's not the Pope. It's not someone else. It's Jesus is the king of this army. And what he says is what we're meant to do. And he's the one that gives all authority. He gives us authority to work, but it's authority that's given to us from Him. And we all have a part to play in this army. All of us. Every single one of us. Not one of us misses out. Some of us might be the privates, some of us might be generals, but we all have a part to play. If you play chess, every piece on that chessboard is important. Sometimes that little pawn can win you the game. We're all important to play our part in the army. The other one, which I think is one of the most beautiful, is the body. We are the body of Christ. And I don't know about you, but if I have a sore back, the rest of the body goes out on strike. Can't do much. Since Christmas time, I've got a bit of sinus. Sinus through the head. For those who have had sinus through the head, that's just annoying, isn't it? It just seems to shut you down. The body is amazing. It can do so much. Incredible. But if there's parts hurting in the body, then it's like the rest of the body goes out in sympathy for it. When we hurt, we need to love and to care for one another and support one another. Let's have a look at God's word and see what it has to say about why we serve. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. So we're going back into Jesus speaking here. Mark chapter 10, verse 42 to 45. And again, John read this one out. Mark chapter 10, 42 to 45. Jesus called them all together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them." So Jesus has painted the picture. This is what you know. There are people who rule, and they rule over you, and they tell you what to do. And he says, "Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be slave to all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." If we go back to the army, if the king of the army is Jesus and he laid his life down for the whole army, what is the army meant to do? Follow. Lay our lives down. To follow. A mate came up from Ipswich for Christmas and we were talking about the commitment across the church. And he was blown away when I explained a story to him where there were missionaries who would put all their gear into their coffin and go overseas. Fully committed to the work God had called them to overseas. Never to come back to family, friends, fortune in Australia, but to go and to give their lives to the people that they were going for. A gift of service, a servant heart, a heart of service. And Jesus has called us to follow him. Many of you have heard me say, I'm a follower of Jesus, and I want you to be follower of Jesus too, disciples of Jesus Christ. And that way, you just need to listen to what God is saying to you. Listen to what Jesus is saying to you. Be his disciple. Be his follower. Don't be a follower of Donnie. You'll get it wrong. You'll get it wrong. Don't follow me, but follow Jesus. Be a servant as Jesus was a servant. Another section is Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. This is a fantastic passage, Romans 12. Again, we could sit on this passage all day. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 13. And it's a little section, it's called Love in Action. Why are we called to serve? Because it's the love of God working in and through us. We serve because we love. Let's listen to this. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Hear that? Hate what is evil. Get rid of the stuff in your life that is sin. Be devoted to one another. Be devoted to one another. Isn't that incredible? God's word, not mine. Honor one another above yourselves. To put other people above yourself. It's not about me in the church. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord, which is actually counteracting exactly that phrase that I used at the beginning, because we get comfortable. We sit in nice air-conditioned and comfortable seats. And Jesus is saying to us loudly and clearly here through his word, don't be comfortable. Stay on the cutting edge. Be alive in who God has you to be. He says this, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality. Does it say serving's going to be easy? No, it doesn't. Because it says straight after serving the Lord, it says be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, and share with the Lord's people who are in need. You're going to come across people who are doing it tough. But I tell you what, handing out those Christmas hampers before Christmas was one amazing blessing. And those that got to do it were able to be a part of that. We've received some emails and cards back already from people who were blessed by receiving those hampers. And it was just amazing to be a part of handing them out. And this is what God's calling us to do, not just at Christmas time, but all the time, to serve in his army, to serve in his family, to be a part of the body of Christ. Why? Because it's going to change our world. Why? It'll change your world. Why? It'll change who you are. Admitting to yourself that Jesus is Lord and that we are his hands and feet. We are to be obedient to him first, not to the things of this world, not to the standards that are around us, but obedient to him first. Number one priority in 2016 has to be Jesus. And out of that will come everything else. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you, Lord God, that you lay before us today blessing or curse. You lay before us life and liberty. You lay before us, Lord God, a choice to follow you. And in the beautiful way, Lord God, that you ministered to Peter when you challenged him three times after you'd risen from the dead, Simon Peter, do you love me? You met him where he was. Today, Lord, a number of us will be able to say, yes, Lord, we agape you. We love you unconditionally, fully. We're ready to commit everything. Other of us, Lord God, will be responding in, we love you, filio. Yes, we love you, but this far, Lord. Wherever we're at, Lord God, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will meet us right where we're at. Right here, right now. And Lord God, you will minister. You will minister, Lord Jesus. We give you all authority, Lord God, to work in and through our lives. Humble us as needed. Purify us as needed. Lord, I need some of that. Lord, by your amazing Holy Spirit, bring about a unity in us as a church that will transform our community. Bringing to us a commitment to one another that we've never seen or heard of before. And as in Acts 2, Lord God, the area around it, those people meeting together saw it and went, wow. I want some of that. Tell me about this Jesus. And they saw people being saved every day. Lord, make us an early church that will see that take place. Lives transformed. My life transformed. People here's lives transformed. My friends in the community lives transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. We lay it before you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you, Randall.